Drive, chip, and putt. Golf is so easy. Four? Okay, maybe the occasional wedge. Let's talk golf. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN Chicago. Presented by the Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
This is the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Tyler Rocky and Mike Gilligan. We talk golf with you every single Saturday throughout the golf season, and the golf season is certainly underway. I'm sure this week a lot of people maybe getting out and getting their first rounds in. We'll talk to Tracy Butler coming up at 10:35. She'll give us a little look at the weather, not just locally here in Chicago, but we need to know about the weather and what's taking place down in Augusta as well, because we are officially inside of a week until we get some Masters action this upcoming Thursday. It snuck up on me this year.
Well, I think with basketball, you know, being at the heart of our lives, it seems, of late, especially on the girls' side of things.
Yeah.
I mean, that game last night was absolutely
fantastic.
Well, both games, actually. Yeah. I mean, but the second game, unreal. But yeah, the focus has been all on hoops, but to your point, it kind of snuck up on us. And I think the weather report we're most interested in is, like you said, down in Augusta versus what's going on here. But rest assured, once Augusta's in our rearview mirror, our attention comes to what is the weather going to be like for us to get out, because we seem to have hit a bit of a lull of bad weather when we had an amazing February at the beginning of March. It seems like lately Mother Nature has been not shining her kindness down to us of late.
We'll see if Tracy Butler can change up some of that mojo well. I think she can. All right, so we are officially inside of a week until we get to the Masters. You know, for anyone who's ever been to the Masters as well, we'd love to hear from you. 312-332-3776, whether it's a practice round, whether it's for one of the actual four rounds as well. And for people who may be going down, maybe you won the lottery this year. I lost once again. I am I think now five-time loser of the Masters lottery. But for anyone who may be going down this year, and maybe we can workshop some tips and tricks. I've seen some stuff on Twitter this week about when you go down there, what your strategy should be. So we'd love to talk to you. 312-332-3776. But we're getting a lot of fun, intriguing storylines heading into this Masters stretch here. I think you look at what happened with Scotty last week, and he misses a 2-foot. Like, just when you thought Scotty had the putter figured out, and he has a chance to get to a playoff, and let's be honest, if he gets to that playoff, he probably wins because he's Scotty Scheffler. But the fact that he has gotten to this level, and then all of a sudden the putter's back to failing him again, like, I don't know who I'm the most confident in as we go down to Augusta.
And great point, because coming into Augusta, basically his game just went thud. I mean, the putter did, in fact, disappear right on the last hole. So I'm not sure that's the kind of momentum Scotty Scheffler wants to walk into Augusta with. But the mere fact he is still the best ball striker on tour, tee to green, I'm sure he's going to work through it. He shows that he's human. But I'm going to tell you, these greens at Augusta are going to be diabolical at times. And it's going to be a game of who can put the ball in the right place at the right time, pick their moments and that kind of thing, and plot their way around. But to your point, Scotty did not finish exactly the way I thought he would have. I thought he would have put a exclamation point on his event last week and then come, you know, walking in with nothing but a clear head and confidence just brewing.
You look at him right now, they have shuffled the odds around a little bit. He is a 4-1 favorite, significantly ahead of the field right now. The next best, you've got Rory 11-1, John Rahm 12-1, Brooks and Xander at 18-1. So there's kind of your top five right there. Do you think we're going to get, and we'll do our countdown to Augusta as well, where we kind of dive in. I want to get into some guys today who haven't won it before, who have been knocking on the doorstep, who have been always around the winner's circle, but never actually have gotten into Butler's Cabin with Jim Nance after. I want to get into some of those. We'll do that a little bit later on. But I look at all of these different guys who are kind of sitting atop. I think we may be in for a wild card this year who could go out and win this thing.
Well, yeah, and I think this is going to be a year like no other because of the landscape and what's going on outside the ropes and really outside Augusta National as everyone descends on Augusta. And I mean the climate amongst one another when everyone arrived to Augusta was us versus them. There was a lot of animosity. There was a lot of harsh words between colleagues that it was almost like we were talking more smack like a major four sport chatter versus what you might traditionally hear in the golf course. So this year, polar opposite. Since June 6th, it seems like open wounds are mending. And I think this is going to really fall nicely into the hands of a lot of these LIV players. I think they're now coming into, you know, the stadium, not as much as the enemy as they once were, say, last year. So I think those that played last year versus those playing this year are going to be at a slightly different mental advantage than the regular tour player. It's just I think they're going to feel a little bit more at home, and I think it's going to free up their ability to play well. And for that reason, we could have a Joaquin Niemann as your winner.
Yeah,
it would not surprise me.
We'll get to our fantasy golf as well. For those who are unaware, there's a great CDGA fantasy golf pool every single year for the majors and a couple other tournaments as well. So we will get to our teams, how we crafted them, how we got to all of that. And if you are a CDGA member, it's free to join. Just log into your CDGA, go to benefits and contests, and then find fantasy golf there, and you will get into your majors challenge. So we'll get through all of our picks and stuff like that in just a little bit. I do think we could be in for a weird Masters winner this year. A guy who, you brought up Joaquin Niemann. That's another name that I really like this year. He's been off to a good start on LIV, and it just feels like LIV kind of dominated this event without winning it last year. When you look at the in the top five, you had three of the top five last year with Patrick Reed, Phil Mickelson, and Brooks Koepka. Like all those guys hovering around there last year, and ultimately it's Rahm. Rahm, where is he now? Right? Like
you kind of
dominated last year, and you didn't have the winner, but you have the reigning champ now, if that makes sense. And I think we're in for a weird Masters this year. The more and more I've started to dive into it, I was doing a lot of research this week into it as well. The more and more I get into it, I think the Scotty, Rory, Rahm, even Brooks, like I don't think we're going to see one of those guys at the end of the day wearing a green jacket.
I think some of those guys will be in the hunt, but I'm a little bit with you. I think this could be one of those "where did that come from" type of a winner, which I think would actually be good.
Yeah, I agree.
On certain levels. And I think it would help validate that particular player and their quest to reach that next level or that next stage in their career. Or maybe it becomes their very first major of all time, which would be exciting to see. Who wouldn't love to win the Masters as your first major? But we are so excited about this at the CDGA. And you bring up the fantasy golf. We have decided to go to our friends at Titleist, Callaway, Srixon, and Zero Friction, and they have donated and helped provide 20 more dozen balls into the prize pool. So we'll be paying out to the top 30, and then another 20 dozen are going into the prize pool to just be randomly selected for just playing the game, right? And then with that, if we surpass 4,500 entries, everybody, all the CDGA members will get a 10% discount code into our CDGA golf shop, which is already a great deal in itself. So it'll be a 1 week code. So we are trying to really kick off the season, kick off the weekend to try to encourage as many members to play.
Already almost 700 people are in the pool.
And
we haven't really even talked about it yet.
It'll officially open tomorrow, but it is officially open now.
Yes.
So CDGA members, go ahead and start picking.
Yeah, you got to get your team set before the first tee on Thursday morning. 312-332-3776. Talking Masters with you. Jim's in Antioch. Jim, what's going on? Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Jim.
Oh, hi, guys. Hey, you know, if I'm watching the women's amateur today at Augusta, are they going to have the same Saturday and Sunday pin placements so I can get a little prep work and maybe the pros are even watching too if there's the exact same pin placements?
It's from my understanding you will not see the Sunday pin locations, and I think there's a reason for it. They don't want to disclose them to anybody. That will be disclosed on Sunday of Augusta, but they will have their own types of pin locations. Yes, I mean,
but like for instance, within 1 foot, everybody knows where it's going to be on 16, right?
For the most part, yeah, but not all of the locations traditionally go back to every location every year. They rotate them from year to year on the occasion, but there are still some of the stalwarts or the staples, if you will.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I will be watching the amateur because Augusta just by itself is a draw.
You got it right. you are so right, Jim.
One of the best.
Have a good day.
You as well. Thanks for the call, Jim. Yeah, one of the best spectacles that you can find on television is Augusta National. You just look at like this week and everything that it brings, and it's like that Thursday, and you're just kind of you start to track, and then Friday, all right, we're watching a cut line and all that. Like, it's going to be good to get back in the swing of things, like watching. Like for a lot of the casual people, like intently watching a golf tournament and getting into the swing of the golf season. Like this is kind of the unofficial opening for the golf season, it feels like.
It really is. And it's one of those unique weeks. I mean, there was a time Major League Baseball would even open up during this week as well. And some teams might actually still be having their home openers. But otherwise, Monday night, we, you know, crown the national champion in hoops. Mm-hmm. And then all eyes go down to, you know, Magnolia Lane. And what's going to also be interesting is to see how a guy like Rory McIlroy is going to approach this week. And from what I'm gathering, he's not going to play in the par three. He's going to come into Augusta Tuesday night. He's going to play one practice round and go. He is not going to cloud his mind with any extracurricular activities. He's not going to be, you know, doing the couple of rounds, playing the practice rounds, playing a money game on Tuesday with some of the boys. Mm-hmm. He's coming in strictly on business, and it's a totally different approach and one that he hasn't quite, frankly, ever taken before coming into Augusta. So just those little stories as we lead into the par three, which then mm-hmm. we get into the first and second round. So,
yep. 312-332-3776. If you want to join us here, we're talking Masters with you on the CDGA Golf Show.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Do, da, dippity. You can go with this, or you can go with that. You can go with this, or you can go with that. I think you go with this, because this is kind of fat.
It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. This segment is brought to you by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our Chicagoland locations today. I shop at the one down in Lincoln Park. I need to get back in there as well to the PGA Tour Superstore. I did break out the new putter last week.
And how was that?
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic. A lot more one putts
there you
this
go.
Past week. So
see, the bigger Super Stroke grip kind of mm-hmm. takes the little muscles out of it.
It was like...
make more of a solid, back and forth without any sort of moving or twisting.
I don't know why, but it was like when I would step up there to putt, I felt like I was doing less thinking. And I don't know if that's maybe the grip, but I feel like that's part of, like, you're fidgeting around with your hands the entire time and trying to line up a putt, and I feel like it made a significant difference for me. I felt like more in control of the putter.
Well, and that's when the fun begins, because really you're not thinking about fidgeting anymore. All you're thinking about, you just said it yourself, it seems so much more simple. You're just looking at the ball, the hole, and you're now just playing.
Yeah.
So when you get your mind into that kind of a relaxed mode, it's amazing how much fun the game can be and how easy the game will come to you. But it's when we do the old overanalysis mm-hmm. leads to total paralysis.
Totally. All right, we've been talking a little bit about the Masters. Again, it is booting up on Thursday. Cannot wait for all of that. Get all the birds chirping back and all that fun stuff. But if you want to join us as well, 312-332-3776, we'll give you some of our picks as well. And Tracy Butler will give us a weather report at 10:35, not just for locally, but also for down in Georgia as well at Augusta National. John is in Shorewood. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Love the show. Try and listen every Saturday when I can. But just wanted to chime in. At the start of your show, you talked about Masters winners, and maybe this is the year you get that obscure guy that comes out of nowhere and wins it. And it does happen. Remember in, 16, Spieth was poised to go back-to-back and put two in the water on that short little three. What is that, 13 there? And then that Danny Willett, who no one had ever heard of. And I suppose if a guy's going to come out of obscurity, I'd rather it be an American as opposed to a European. But it does happen. Remember when Freddie Couples won it, his only major? Ian Woosman won it, and Fuzzy Zeller. So it is kind of cool to see a young guy or a rookie kind of come out of nowhere and maybe bring down one of the big dogs or a couple of the big dogs on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, no doubt about it, John. Thank you for the phone call there. I think the other part, too, that's great about a first-time champion is the drama that ensues for those final, like, basically the back nine, I would say. Like, you're going into Sunday, usually with a lead, and it's like, all right, how did this guy sleep the night before, right? How did he sleep the night before knowing that he has a chance to win the Masters the next day? All right, how did he play in that front nine? Did he kind of, was he going for it? Is he trying to really put a score up there, or is he just trying to hold serve here? A lot of pars, playing a little more conservatively. And then there's always that one guy who, like, I think a prime example last year was like a Phil Mickelson, a guy who's done it before, makes that late charge, or like a Patrick Reed last year, makes that late charge in, and you see him really elevate up the leaderboards and put a little pressure on that guy. How does he deal with the pressure? Now, all of that stuff, I think, is what makes a first-time Masters winner so fun.
Well, and, you know, it goes back to the classic movie Caddyshack. What is Bill Murray when he's the Cinderella story at Augusta, right? We come out of the NCAA tournament talking about Cinderella, about that opportunity. It's the one moment where we, as a fan, can put ourselves into the shoes of that person who's now going through this for the first time, wondering, how would you do? How would you fold, or how would you excel under the microscope of being on the back nine on Sunday at Augusta with a lead, a one-shot lead, with the likes of some of the world's greatest chasing you? And it's great theater, because it's either going to end in some of the wildest and happiest of ways, but it could also be tragic in its way. And I think the last caller talked about Jordan Spieth. That was difficult to watch.
Yeah,
it really was. And the hole that he lost, it was on 12, that little par three. So, you know, it provides such great theater. That's why we go to the theater, because you're not, you know, not sure what you're going to expect when you're there as far as the outcomes. And the journey between the opening tee shot, the ceremonial tee shot, and when we finally put that green jacket on, there is a roller coaster of emotions amongst the field. And then you get to the back nine, and that's truly when the fun begins.
So 8 of the last 9 Masters champions have been first-timers. And the one outlier is, of course, Tiger Woods in 2019. But I think you could even make a case.
Yeah.
That is like a different Tiger. So it does kind of feel like not the last 9 years we've had a different Masters champion, to like a first-time Masters champion, because you're right, like, that is a completely different iteration. His last Masters win prior to that came in 05, like 14 years before. So I and that one was that the weird no, the 2020 was the weird one that was played in the fall. Like 2019, like, that was a completely different iteration of Tiger. So all of that put together, and it kind of makes you think, like, maybe we are just going to get a new Masters champion, because that's the way it's been. But, like, you look at some of these other guys that have won the Masters, at least they've been, like, major winners or, like, number ones in the world at the time of winning these tournaments. I wonder if we're going to get a guy who's, like, more obscure, kind of like what the caller said, like a Danny Willett type, or like when Charles Schwartzel won, or something like something out of left field where it's like, didn't expect that guy to go out and win.
What about Tom Kim? How about that?
That would be an interesting. Yeah,
I mean, not obscure, but obscure. But he's so young,
right?
You know, and it's such a lovable guy. That in itself could be an amazing story if that guy could come back.
I'm looking for Tom Kim. He's at 80-1 right now in terms of odds. That's not a bad one. Young guy, kind of getting a taste of it. Like, yeah, I don't hate that totally. Walt's in LaGrange. What's up, Walt?
I've got a question about Victor Hovland.
Yeah.
About a month and a half ago, he was like 12-1 to win the Masters. And he's up to 25-1 now.
I'm seeing 35-1.
I know.
Well, does somebody know? I mean, has he got a broken arm or something? Does somebody know something that I don't know?
Well, I think the answer here, Walt, is he hasn't played very well this year on the PGA Tour. And right now, he's tied for 62nd. Playing right now, and I'm pulling up some of his finishes.
He hasn't played much either.
Like, yeah.
I was going to say, he hasn't played much, has he?
He hasn't been very good, really, in general. Like, I'm pulling up his scorecards from the players. Nothing too impressive there. Like, he has not been the Victor Hovland that we saw. Like, he's made all the cuts, but you would have thought for a guy as hot as he was to close out last season. Like, both you and I, Mike.
I was so in his camp.
Our first show of the year, I think we both said, I think Victor Hovland's going to win the Masters.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, maybe he does. Maybe this is like the kind of rope-a-dope that he's throwing at us right now. And he's going to go out and just charge and have his best 4 days of golf of the year starting on Thursday. He might.
He might.
But the way that it's trending right now, Walt, like, I don't know. Yeah. Like, he just has not looked good.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think, Walt?
I didn't even know he was in the Players. Did he make the cut even?
Yeah,
he's made all five cuts that he's been in this year, but here are his finishes this year, Walt. Tied for 22nd at the Century, tied for 58 at the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, tied for 19th at the Genesis, 36th at the Arnold Palmer, and then 62nd at the Players. And he's 62nd? Yeah.
Yeah.
And he won $55,000 at the Players Championship, and that barely covers jet fuel for him.
Yeah, really. Okay, thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Walt. If you want to join us, 312-332-3776. Rich is on the south side. What's going on, Rich?
Hey, guys. You know what? How about Brian Harman? I think the kid's been close. He's a good golfer. He's, you know, he gets close. And I think he won a tournament already this year. If not, he did last year. Left-handed.
Very
good. I think he's one of the guys that could be, you know, the one you're talking about. The guy that you just didn't see coming. And he finally got his, you know, got a green jacket.
Well, let's be fair, Rich. This guy's also the British Open winner,
right,
too.
Yeah,
so the guy does know how to close. He knows how to win. And to Rich's point, that's a great call for Brian Harman, a lefty. He hits a nice little fade anyway, and it's more of a drawer's golf course when you consider it from a right-handed player's perspective. And he could join that, you know, field of lefty winners in, with Mickelson and or Man Up in Canada.
And Bubba.
Bubba as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Rich. You know, Brian Harman's a good name because he has played pretty. Now, he did get cut at the Valspar, but finished in a tie for second at the Players, was very much in that. Tied for 12th at the Arnold Palmer, had a top five at the Century. Like, he's been around. He's made most of his. He's 7 of 8 in terms of cuts this year. For me, he's just frustrating to watch. Because he takes a long time. He's one of those guys, like, I wonder if we got a pairing and, like, he was with Brooks or something like that, if Brooks just implodes.
Yeah, something would happen, and I'm not sure it would be good. But, I think we would have the counter on him, and people would be clicking and all that. But I will say this, though. He is an incredibly good putter. He is so good with the flat stick. And if you have that going for you, his ability to now understand how to win is there. So I think he comes into Augusta. Well, I know he does. He comes in with a totally different mindset and, you know, than he's ever been able to have, you know, previously. So good guy to watch out for sure.
All right. When we come back, let's do a little countdown to Augusta. We'll get into what maybe some of these long shots are and some of the other guys that we want to get their names out as well. And then we'll, of course, give you our fantasy golf picks as well. We'll do all of that when we come back. This is the CDGA Golf Show, and this segment brought to you by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our Chicagoland locations today.
This is the CDGA Golf Show. presented by Glenview Park Golf Club, ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app.
This segment brought to you by Coghill Golf and Country Club, home of 42 practice bays with top tracer technology. I was out there last week getting in around at Coghill. First time out there, too. It's fantastic. Loved everything about... I played number three last week.
Yeah, how did you play?
I played all right. Well, it was my first time with a new putter, and I thought that went well. I felt like I was striking the ball well. Wasn't striking it as straight as I maybe would have liked to, but I got into a groove probably like... 4 or 5 holes in, I want to say, and then that groove kind of faded out a little bit once it started to get a little bit colder outside. So,
wow.
But yeah, that's spring golf here. You just kind of deal with it.
That's what you do. But hey, at least you got out. So yeah. Good for you. Yeah.
Thank you. You want to join us? 312-332-3776. We're going to do our countdown to Augusta in just a moment. But first, let's check in with Leo. He's in Orland Park. What's up, Leo?
Hey guys, how's it going? Totally random plug here. I'm driving to play Coghill number 2 as we speak.
All right.
So, yeah.
Totally coincidental, but so was listening to you guys talking about some smooth swinging lefties before the break, and mind immediately went to Akshay Bhatia.
We were just talking about him at the break.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I think he's got to finish strong in Austin, I think, to even qualify, but like, the dude's 22 and won his first Corn Ferry Tour with his girlfriend on the bag because his caddy was sick. Like, I love him, cheering for him, and would love to hear your guys' thoughts. So appreciate it. Have a great day.
Yeah, great name you brought up there, Leo. And you know who he reminds me of from a personality standpoint? A lot of Max Homa in Akshay Bhatia.
Oh, yeah.
He has an eccentric personality. A lot of fun to watch. Like, if you watch a lot of the... like TikTok or social media posts that the PGA Tour does, like, he is fantastic with it. I love everything about this guy. He's just this skinny dude, like really skinny dude, oh. And he can hit the ball. And you're right, like smooth swinging lefty. But yeah, he's an intriguing. I love everything about him. I mean, he's playing well right now. What did you say? He's got a 5-shot lead right now.
5-shot lead and. Boy, it would be just a great way for that kid to go rolling into Augusta just with an exclamation point this weekend on how he's playing. But right now, he is far better than everybody else. And you want to watch somebody with wiry power.
Yeah.
I'm not sure this guy weighs even 150 pounds, but he can absolutely flat out kill it. He is so flexible in how he clears his hips before those hands ever begin to start moving down towards the ball. So he's a great... A great example for those that are trying to learn how to shallow out their swing. Just watch him and you will automatically get better at it.
I'm trying to think of guys who are on tour who kind of like resemble him. Like little Will Zalatoris, where it's like a skinny guy. Joaquin Niemann to a yep. degree too. I'm just kind of looking through like everyone else though that you see on tours, like a lot of these guys like Rahm and Scheffler. I guess a little Rory. To a degree, but even Rory's like really beefed up.
Yeah,
lately.
He has. I'd almost go back to more like Ricky. I mean, Ricky's
yeah,
got
a good comp too.
That whip
from a yeah, and, from like a swing and body frame mm-hmm. standpoint.
But when you look at a guy like you know Bryson DeChambeau, it's pure brute strength, and
right.
he's got obviously some flexibility, but not like Akshay.
Yeah,
that's incredible, and it's so fun to watch. And I'm hoping like heck he makes it to Augusta because he could hit. The ball is far and as long as anybody out there, and it would be interesting to see how he takes advantage of some of the terrain out there and putting the ball in places that most people just can't do.
All right, let's get to our countdown to Augusta.
The birds are chirping. The azaleas are in full bloom. And the green jacket is perfectly tailored.
We look forward to you wearing the green jacket at Augusta National for many years to come.
It's the countdown to Augusta on the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000.
All right, we'll be taking a look at some potential first-time Masters winners as we continue on this countdown to Augusta. We've been naming a bunch of guys. more long shot type of players that could potentially win. But how about some guys who maybe are a little bit further up on the odds list that could potentially win? Is there anyone that's catching your eye that maybe is like a big hitter that you're just waiting for them to crack through eventually?
For me, it's the X Man. It's Xander.
I was going to bring
because
him up
too. He is coming so close, and I think he's going to parlay what happened at the Players Championship in a positive way at Augusta. Now, whether he gets over the hump and can win, but this is a guy who fits the bill of the Masters being his first major of his career because he's major worthy.
Yeah, he's one of those guys, like, he's always around. You always hear his name. He's always got buzz. It's like, it's him and Patrick Cantlay. And it's funny because they're Zurich partners, right?
Yes.
Like, those two guys, every single time, it's like, they're the ones. This is the time. This is going to be the time they finally break. And then they don't. And they're hovering around. And maybe they have, like, a good little moving day on Saturday. But you, for some reason, they just can't break through. And there's also the obvious. Like, you look at guys like Rory, who haven't won before. Like, looking for a first-time Masters champ here, like,
for me, I go right to Ludvig Åberg.
You know,
that guy, based on what he did last year at the Ryder Cup, his game is so poised. And he is right mentality, I think, to be a perfect champion for Augusta. I just, his game to me, it's going to be great to watch him just at Augusta. I'm really, that is one guy that is much must-watch TV for me in the first two rounds. I want to watch how he plays the golf course. And I would expect to see him in the top 10 after day one and two, for sure. When we're here next week, I for sure think that that guy will be up there.
100% with you. I mean, this guy is fresh out of college and was unfazed at the Ryder Cup. Now, granted, it was a home turf Ryder Cup, but still, like, the way that he's been striking the ball and the way that it just seems like moments aren't too big for him. And, like, we were just talking about Akshay Bhatia, a guy who's, like, not your prototypical golfer body frame. Like, this guy's every bit of it. This guy, if you could design a guy in a lab of what a golfer looks like, this is who you're picking.
Mm-hmm.
He's all of it. And I look at what he has done so far. He's playing all right now. But, like, the way that he has gone about everything this year and on the heels of last year, even getting onto the tour, like, all of it now, and now is his chance to kind of go out there and maybe shock some people at the Masters. Like, I think this is the perfect opportunity for him.
Right, and I think he'll be what we'll call the rookie of the event, my own opinion. Another guy, and although he has a major championship to his name, but he doesn't have the Masters, is Bryson DeChambeau.
Interesting.
And I think what's going to happen is everyone's not going to have their eye on him for the first time. He still hits it a country mile. He's as long as ever. And that golf course, for a guy that can bomb and gouge like he can, and if he gets it going, I mean, he was right there at the PGA last year, but I think he could just quietly all of a sudden appear, and it's like, oh, yeah, we forgot about him because, well, we forgot about him.
Yeah. Here's another guy who people may have forgotten about, too. I want your thoughts on him. Will Zalatoris. What do we think of Will Zalatoris this year? Had the back injury all last year, played very sparingly, and even when he did play, it was like, he usually had to withdraw. But he was a guy who was in the thick of it. Like, the last time we really saw him, almost won the U.S. Open against Matthew Fitzpatrick. He just was just in it to the end there. Like, what do we think about Will Zalatoris?
Well, I think Will is healthy. And when you have a
healthy,
yeah. And when you have a healthy Will Zalatoris, if you're the rest of the field, you got a problem. And I think Will is another guy that could do a lot of great things at Augusta. He's on my list as a potential another guy that fits the bill as the Masters being his first major championship. But I like a lot of what he's been able to do since he's come back. So I think going into Augusta, he's got that injury side of the equation mentally out of his mind. He can now just focus on how he used to be, you know, pre-injury, pre-surgery.
What about some guys who are, like, trendy names from a year ago that maybe didn't have the greatest seasons last year, like a Matt Fitzpatrick, who I just brought up, Colin Morikawa, Tony Finau, another one, Max Homa. Like, some of these guys I'm looking at the odds right now, all sitting in like the 40-1 range right now. Those are some guys. Like, I know you really like Tony Finau, and we're waiting for that first Tony Major. It does feel like when he finally does break through, it will be at Augusta.
Right. I just think Augusta fits certain people's eyes and guys that can really hit it, draw it. And Tony fits that bill with that short, compact swing. And when he gets it going putting, I mean, he can be as good as anybody. But, you know, he's a streaky player. And he can be streaky good, but he can also be streaky off. But I have seen some good things out of his game of late. And he's always around at Augusta. He never heads south like with his first two rounds. Mm-hmm. He may not win it, but he seems to be at least somebody that we'll talk about at some point before, if he fades, he fades. But I like his opportunities at Augusta more so than I would say at a U.S. Open or a PGA Championship setup.
I'm with you there. Another name I want to toss your way too, and we'll hit a break very shortly here, but Sahith Theegala.
Yeah.
I'm very high on him. Top 10 last year. Made the cut at three of the four majors last year. Really came on strong. I thought he was fantastic. And I think this is going to be one of those tournaments where I think we're getting a long shot this year that's going to go out. And I don't think we're going to get like a Rahm, Rory, Brooks winner. I think we're going to get one of these long shots. And I look at Sahith Theegala, I think he's one of those prime candidates, this up-and-coming guy, been around it now for a year. This could be the one for him.
No doubt. And what we've really watched over the past three or four majors is watching Sahith come into his own. And I think we're going to see a situation where he's going to be able to take what he's learned and now actually apply it and really make a name for himself. I think Sahith is going to take his game to another level. He may not win at Augusta, but I guarantee he makes the cut. And I think he's going to have, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised by a top 10 finish out of Sahith by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah. I'm with you there.
He could be the true Cinderella story.
Yeah. I think that would be a fun first-time champion right there.
No
All right.
doubt.
We will get to some more Masters thoughts if you want to join us as well. 312-332-3776. Also, take a look at what's going on around the PGA Tour as well as LIV, too, because there's some interesting stuff happening on the LIV Tour as well. We'll do all that when we come back. This segment brought to you by Cog Hill Golf and Country Club, a pure golf experience.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Segment is brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin. Let's take a look at what's going on around on the tours right now. Let's start on the PGA Tour, where Akshay Bhatia has a 5-stroke lead over the field down at the Valero Texas Open. Brendan Todd, Russell Henley, Denny McCarthy are the ones that are 5 strokes back. Rory McIlroy, 6 back. Then you got Tommy Fleetwood and Webb Simpson, each at 4 under. How about Nick Hardy? A little bit of a rough start to the season for him, but he is currently nestled into the top 10 right now. He's at 3 under, tied with Jordan Spieth, among others, right now. And that's what's going on there. Then when we go to the LIV leaderboard here, they're playing down in Miami. And you told me this is a big boy course that they're down there right now. Peter Uihlein, Taylor Gooch, and Sergio Garcia are all tied for the lead at 5 under. Boy, Taylor Gooch has got to be pissed.
Yeah, you think?
Boy, is he going to be upset.
He's playing with a little chip on his shoulder. And, you know, like I said to you during the break, the Blue Monster down at Doral, for those who don't quite understand Doral and are too young to remember the days of when that was a regular tour stop, when it was on the PGA Tour, it was among the most difficult regular season type courses or stops they would make annually. And it was a fun golf course. It was one of those courses you kind of got to know, but because it fell out of the rotation, you know, and then, you know, Trump took over and it just sort of fell out of the rotation for a lot of tours. It's now we get to see it again through Live. And so for those who are thinking, oh, well, these guys don't play real golf courses or whatnot, even Brooks Koepka came out and said, this is a big boy golf course. And it really, truly is. So these guys are sharpening their tools at a venue that is really, really difficult. So if they are playing good at Doral, they're coming in to Augusta with a lot of great momentum.
12th,
and receiving that.
12th hole, 670 yards.
Yeah, and then you know what the next hole is? It's a par 3. Oh. 241 or 47. Or
45 what, 45 is what I'm seeing on the scorecard
okay,
here.
Yeah. So how about that?
Yeah.
And let me tell you, that 670, because I've played Doral many times, and that 670, if you catch a wrong wind, it can play like 750, 780.
Oh, boy.
And it's all of three major blows to get there. So, and then you play that next hole, and that's no cupcake. You get a wind that's coming out of that, you know, northwest, and those two holes could be among the two toughest that you'll see all year.
Let me give you this, just the start of the back nine, all right? A 608 par 5 on 10.
Yeah.
Then you have a 428 par 4, okay. 670 par 5, the 245 par 3, and then a 475 par 4.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the major distance on this course.
Hence where the nickname Monsta mm-hmm. comes from. And what I also have to stress is this is being woven through tons of water. That's why the blue mm-hmm. part. So it's a monster. It doesn't have the trees that you might see, but the penalties are even more severe because of the water and how you have to drive it. And it's a game of truly angles. And I think for those getting prepared to come to Augusta, you've got to play the angles the right way. So I think that for somebody that's going to try to win this event from the Live perspective, I can't think of a better place to get ready the week before. It's almost as if they thought through, how could we best
yeah.
get a player geared up, ready to win Augusta from the Live group? Well, let's put an event at Doral the week before.
Yeah. Some of the other notable names on that leaderboard as well: Brooks, Rahm, and Patrick Reed, all tied for eighth at 3 under. DJ's tied for 14th at 2 under. And then looking through some of the other
Tyrell Hatton.
You know what surprises me a little bit? Yeah, Tyrell Hatton also at 2 under. Bryson tied for 20th at 1 under.
Yeah.
This feels like a course that would have sort of fit him, but you're right. Like the water, maybe that'll trip him up there.
But that's why I think at Augusta, there's no water. He can yeah. drive and bomb and gouge all he wants.
Right. And then Joaquin Niemann also at 1 under in that Bryson DeChambeau group there as well. All right, when we come back, we will make our picks for the CDGA Masters Fantasy Golf Challenge. We'll do that and more when we come back. And don't forget, Tracy Butler joins us at 10:35 as well for a little Augusta weather report. The segment brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.